everyone. This is Erica Spicer Mason with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode today, where we'll discuss some recent research and how MPO levels may predict mortality risk, not just from cardiovascular disease, but other causes as well. For this discussion, we're thrilled to be joined by Dr. Andrea Clemes, the Chief Medical Officer at MDVIP. Dr. Clemes, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. And before we get started on our topic of the day and diving into this research a bit more, do you want to just share a little bit more about yourself and your background for our listeners?
Sure. So I'm an endocrinologist by training, was in private practice for about 10 years, then moved into pharmaceuticals. Women's health, osteoporosis was really my passion, and that's what I focused on. And about 14 years ago, I got to come to MDVIP, and I've been the chief medical officer here for the last 14 years.
Oh, fantastic. 14 years is quite a milestone, so congrats on that.
Thank you.
And I know that you recently partnered with Quest Diagnostics on a study looking at the link between inflammatory levels and mortality risk. And that's really kind of at the heart of what we want to talk about today. But before we get into the study and some of the findings, can you just share with our listeners why inflammation is a growing area of focus in clinical care?
Sure. And maybe just a little bit about inflammation itself, because it really is an important process in healing our bodies. You know, for example, when there's an injury or a foreign body, a bacteria in your body, our body will send cells to heal that area. And for example, somebody falls, bangs their knee, cuts their knee, some bacteria gets in, and they end up in my office a week later with a big red swollen knee, hot fever. If the bacteria gets into the knee, the body sends cells to fight that bacteria. And in the short term, that inflammation and those cells, you know, helps heal the body. And eventually the redness, the swelling, all of that goes down because the bacteria gets killed off and your knee gets better. But there's also a thing called chronic inflammation. And this happens when the underlying causes are not healed. Chronic inflammation can increase the risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's, just to name a few, but they're probably the big few you want to worry about preventing. It's important to measure these inflammation levels in the body. For example, you know about heart attacks and you know all about cholesterol, right? That you need to know your cholesterol to see if you're at risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. But a lot of heart attacks happen with a normal cholesterol, and the other piece of that puzzle is inflammation. So you really need to look into somebody's inflammatory levels to understand if they are truly at risk. What really happens in heart disease, you hear about cholesterol or plaque, right? That the cholesterol builds up in our arteries. Well, that's the foreign body, and the body sends cells to that area to sort of fight off that cholesterol, to dissolve it so that it doesn't clog up the artery. What happens, though, is those cells release enzymes that sort of make it into like the potholes in a street in New York, right? That it sort of erodes away a little bit. Our body will then try and fight that hole in the plaque and send a whole bunch more cells over there to try and plug it up. For example, when you cut yourself shaving, right? You get that clot of blood on there and it clogs up that hole. Well, when it does that in your artery, it clogs the whole artery. And that's what causes the heart attack or the stroke. Elevated inflammatory markers like myeloperoxidase or even CRP, you've heard of CRP in the past, predict this inflammation, this chronic inflammation, and can help physicians identify it so they can treat patients earlier to prevent heart attacks, strokes, and death. And some of the causes of this chronic inflammation are also what chronic inflammation can cause. I hate to say it that way, but it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Things like obesity, diabetes, heart disease do cause more chronic inflammation. But then again, chronic inflammation causes all of those things. So we just need to be vigilant about monitoring.
What a helpful overview. Thanks, Dr. Clemes. It's, I think, going to be so important for so many of our listeners to hear this, especially considering some of the most recent reports that we've seen, even through our reporting at Becker's, about elevated cancer prevalence across the country. And of course, we know heart disease and other chronic conditions that you're mentioning are some of the most complex, hard to manage, and of course, expensive conditions. So really interesting to hear how inflammation plays into all of these concerns. So what were the key findings from your latest research? And can you speak to a little bit of the significance behind those findings?
Yes. So we studied MDVIP patients undergoing routine care. As part of our yearly wellness program, we measure the myeloperoxidase, which is a little bit more specific inflammatory marker. Many have heard of CRP, and that's a little less specific. If your CRP is elevated, you could have an appendicitis or a flu or heart disease. Myeloperoxidase is more specific for that heart disease piece of things. And what we found was that if your myeloperoxidase is elevated at baseline, you have a higher risk of heart attacks, strokes, and even of death. And the data shows that the risk of death over 5 years was nearly 10 times higher if you had an elevated myeloperoxidase. We also looked at the patients under the care of our MDVIP physicians. And over a 5-year period, we had published before this study, showing that if doctors knew the level was elevated, they did something to bring it down, whether it was identify diabetes, identify periodontal disease, other causes of inflammation. And we found in the study that that decrease in myeloperoxidase levels also decreased mortality by 5% over the 5-year period. So this analysis was not only the first to find that a chronic inflammatory marker, the myeloperoxidase, that's usually associated with heart disease can also predict mortality, but also that our network decreasing them decreased the mortality.
Wow, what important research. And so considering some of these findings, you know, everything from showing increased risk to mortality rates, what do you think is the most important takeaway from the study that healthcare providers should start considering right away?
I think the most important thing for primary care physicians to know is that there is a marker that not only predicts heart disease, but also death. And if you decrease that level, you can decrease the risk of death. Of course, not just decreasing the level itself doesn't cause the death. Of course, it's a surrogate marker for all the other problems with chronic inflammation. How do you do that? The first thing they have to understand is chronic inflammation and what is causing it in the patient. Is it obesity? Is it the patient has uncontrolled cholesterol and a family history of heart disease? Do they have prediabetes and nobody's even done a hemoglobin A1C on them and doesn't even know that they're at risk for diabetes? Do they have periodontal disease? There is a very significant oral systemic connection. And we know that many heart attacks happen in patients with periodontal disease. Now, if you have periodontal disease, it doesn't mean you're going to have a heart attack. It's sort of the other way around, those risks of heart disease, but the risk is markedly elevated in periodontal disease. So when you can get any of these other things under control, you can decrease their levels and decrease the risk of death.
Absolutely. And thanks for highlighting that for listeners. That seems so important and really in alignment with so many of the preventative efforts that you see going on in the PCP setting. So really great to consider how chronic inflammation is a major contributing factor in their patient bases. So how can clinicians help to lower their patients' inflammation levels to reduce that personal risk? Any next steps or best practices?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've learned at MDVIP that we've been screening our patients for these inflammatory markers since 2011. The problem is most insurers don't cover these types of tests just for screening. Quest knew how important these markers are, and so they've actually have a policy that if your insurance denies coverage of those markers, they'll only charge you, like, I think it's like $40 out of pocket, so they can make them accessible to the masses. So the physicians need to know about them and know to order them, but they also need to know about inflammation and keep up to date in the evolving field. A lot still think that cholesterol is the only thing you need to monitor to decrease your risk of heart disease. I think we know from years ago from Tim Russert, you know, the journalist, that he died of a heart attack in his 50s. He had normal cholesterol, a normal stress test, all within the months up to his death, but nobody ever looked for inflammation. So they were obviously missing some part of his risk that they hadn't diagnosed. Physicians not only need to keep up to date, but they have to order the tests and know what to do if they're elevated. So they need to look for those underlying causes of inflammation, and then they can work to treat the patients. One of the most important ways to treat elevated inflammation, I hate to say it because it's what everybody says, is lifestyle, diet and exercise, right? And weight management. Obesity itself increases inflammatory markers. That increases your risk for heart disease, diabetes, and cancers. And so if you can manage somebody's weight, if you can have them exercising so they're utilizing everything better, it will decrease their risk of heart attack, stroke, cancer, and death.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Clemes. So it sounds like there's kind of three considerations here for providers, just to keep up to date on their knowledge around inflammation, to educate themselves, know how to order that test. And also, it sounds like it would be helpful to kind of spread the word to patients and sharing information that there are options for this test to be covered in certain scenarios, or at least to be very low cost and accessible to some.
Definitely.
Yeah, great. Well, just kind of to round out our discussion, you know, I know a lot of your research has demonstrated the clinical as well as the financial impact of prevention and early detection, like we've talked about. So in the end, what does this mean for primary care, especially within health systems?
Yeah, the MDVIP model consists of a yearly wellness program for the patient. Think of it as an executive style physical. So if you really are spending 1 to 2 hours once a year on a patient to identify all of their risk factors, talk to them, educate them, talk about diet and exercise, go through barriers to losing weight or barriers to exercising. This time also really cements the doctor-patient relationship, and all of these things lead to better outcomes and cost savings. You know, in my research over the years, I've shown that MDVIP patients have better control of chronic conditions like diabetes and hypertension. They have more preventive testing done, not excessive, but they're getting their mammograms, their colonoscopies, their DEXA scans done per guidelines. We've also published that we identify over 40% more patients at risk of heart disease with the markers that we look at, so we can treat them earlier to prevent disease and not just the complications of disease. And I've also published that our patients have less heart attacks and strokes. So the monitoring of these levels and the diagnosing really does make a difference. There's better satisfaction when a doctor really has the time to spend with the patient and the patient has the time to spend with the doctor. Quick patient case example, you know, patient comes in and the doc is doing the typical review of systems and they say, do you have a cough? And the patient says, not really. In old world primary care, when patients are really sort of conveyor belt coming through, not really means no, and the doc can go on. But in this specific case, not really upon probing was, well, I really kind of cough when I exercise. That ended up being this patient's anginal equivalent. They ended up with bypass surgery very quickly after their encounter with their physician. We've also shown in research that we have less hospitalizations, readmissions, ER visits, urgent care visits. So save the healthcare system lots of money in Medicare and in commercially insured patients. And, you know, I think as a physician, one of the things that's important to me is the model keeps primary care physicians happier, healthier, and in practice longer so they can take better care of those patients, preventing disease, having better outcomes, and lowering costs to the whole system.
Wonderful. Dr. Clemes, thank you so much for not only sharing with us your latest research, some of those pertinent findings, but also how this all ties back to what we know are some of the top concerns for health systems and health system leaders right now. So thank you again for your time and insights today.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me share my knowledge.
Absolutely. And we'd also like to thank our podcast sponsor today, MDVIP. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.